Jesus says in today's passage, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. To receive salvation, we have to know that we're sinners. We admit, we believe, and we confess. As long as we self-justify, self-excuse, and self-approve, we're like the Pharisees, always outside of the kingdom of God.
Welcome to the Calhoun Baptist Church Podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. In this episode, we explore an inspiring sermon titled, Jesus and Sinners, by Brother Mark Abney. Through Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, Brother Mark delves into the transformative encounters between Jesus and sinners. Get ready to discover the profound message of grace, redemption, and love found within this passage. Join us on this podcast journey of spiritual growth and reflection. And now, Brother Mark.
We're going to continue on in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning in verse 13 through 17. I've been enjoying working our way through Mark, watching Jesus as he steps out into his ministry that the Lord laid before him. And we see him doing great wonders and miracles. Would you stand with me as we read out of God's Word, Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. And he went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And he passed by, and he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. As he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Would you pray with me? Father God, take your word and bless it to our heart. Put it deep within us, and Lord, make us alive by it. And Lord, we pray that your word would do the work that it's called to do this morning in us, through us, across the Facebook live stream, across the podcast, Lord, wherever it goes. We pray that your spirit would do the work that it's called to do. And Lord, may we be mendable and pliable, willing to forsake all and follow you as Levi did, that you may bless us with the blessings that only come from you. And Lord, we know that you are always with us, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And thank you for that security in knowing that wherever we go in the ministry, you're there. All these things we pray in Christ's name and for his sake. And the church said, Amen. Remember when we started Mark and Jesus came to be baptized, he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The time had come for Jesus to begin to save sinners and add them to the kingdom of God. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. The lost is to be separated from God because of sin. And what reconciles us to God is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to make a way for us to be reconciled, to redeem us back to God. The only way we can be redeemed is to be a sinner who is forgiven and saved by grace through Christ. And the only way our sins are forgiven is by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Since we started the Gospel of Mark, we have received many clues that the kingdom of God was at hand. First, he called his disciples, and he told them that he would make them fishers of men. Then he delivered a demon-possessed man in the synagogue. He then healed Peter's mother-in-law and many, many others, cast out many demons. He cleansed a leper of his sins, and he was made whole. He forgave a paralyzed man, and he walked away, a new man. So Jesus' ministry unfolds, and we see the reason Jesus came from heaven to earth. He came to interact with a demon-possessed, the physically unhealthy, the spiritually unclean, the sinners who were in need of forgiveness. Jesus says in today's passage, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." To receive salvation, we have to know that we're sinners. We admit, we believe, and we confess. As long as we self-justify, self-excuse, and self-approve, we're like the Pharisees, always outside of the kingdom of God. Here in the text, we see Jesus calling Levi, or Matthew as we know him. Jesus going out again beside the sea, Mark says in verse 13. Jesus goes out again. Well, when Jesus goes out, things happen. Amen. Jesus went out in the wilderness to defeat Satan's temptation. Jesus went out into Galilee and proclaimed the kingdom of God was at hand, and repent and believe the gospel. And there he called Peter and Andrew to follow him. He went to Capernaum and he healed the demon-possessed man on the Sabbath. He went out into Peter and Andrew's house and healed Peter's mother-in-law of her fever and all the people at the door that day. He went out in the morning to pray. He went out to the next towns, preaching the gospel, casting out demons and healing people. He went out on his way and healed the men with leprosy. He went out returning to Capernaum and healed the paralytic and many others that day. And now Jesus is going out again. So when Mark says Jesus is going out again, look out, for something great is about to happen. Every time Jesus goes out, miracles take place, even today. When we see Jesus going out, we see miracles happening. People are healed, sins are forgiven, and demons vacate the premise. Jesus gives us a great pattern for life. Go out and pray, and then go do ministry. Go get the power, then go deliver the power. Go get, and then go give. Go pray again. Get ready and go do the ministry. But as Jesus sought the Father, the crowd was coming to him. And as they crowded around Jesus, he continued teaching them. He must have been walking as he was teaching, because Mark says as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in a tax booth. Well, we know Levi was a tax collector from the scripture. And taxmen in that day made their living by gouging the people and charging more than Rome required, becoming quite wealthy in the process. We know another tax collector in the Bible. He was a wee little man named Zacchaeus. He may have been a wee little man, but he was quite wealthy as a tax collector. And he was saved by Jesus, and his life was changed forever, and he began to pay back those he had wronged. Because tax collectors were viewed as traitors in cahoots with Rome, the Jewish community was unforgiving in their attitude towards them. Tax collectors were not allowed to go to church. Their presence in a home made the whole place unclean. So Levi was one of those people, a social outcast. We know him by Matthew, which is perhaps an alternative name for Levi. And it's possible Jesus may have renamed Levi with the name Matthew. Many of those who were saved in the Bible took on a new name because they had a new life. They were a new person. We see that was Saul, who became Paul. We see that was Simon, who became the little rock, known as Peter. And here we see Levi becomes Matthew. I think the litmus test of any salvation is that you are no longer the same. Amen. You are changed. You have a new life, and the old man is dead. Romans 6:6-8 says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve sin. For he that is dead is free of sin. Now if he is dead with Christ, we believe that he shall also live with him. You see, when Jesus comes in and saves us, he changes us. He makes all things new, and we're no longer the same. Jesus called Levi. As he walked by the sea, Jesus saw Levi, and he said to him, follow me. And Levi rose and followed him. Now when four fishermen left their business to follow Jesus, they could and did several times after that return to fishing. But when Levi left his tax collecting job, he could never return. There are some jobs as followers of Jesus that we have no business doing. And when Jesus calls us and we're in that career or profession, we should leave that and do what God calls us to do. Levi could not continue as a tax collector and follow Jesus. Levi left it all and he never looked back. You and I too must leave everything to follow Jesus. As we follow Jesus, he leads us to the right career, to the right community, to the right church, to the right spouse and family, that we may follow his perfect plan. This was the best decision of Levi's life. Matthew left a life of corruption to be one of the gospel writers and to help lead many to salvation for centuries to come. His new life, formerly a tax collector with self-serving interests, became an exciting part of God's kingdom, giving his life truth of the gospel as he preached to all the people he met. This is what Jesus does. He gives hope to the hopeless. He calls out the outcast. He gives meaning to the meaningless, and he includes the unincludable. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus, because it's the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. Like Levi, there are many things we must leave behind to follow Jesus. Might be a career, might be a relationship, it might be a desire or an attitude, and it will always be sin that we leave behind. If Matthew were here today, he would say it's worth it all to follow Jesus. Jesus came to save sinners. The day of your salvation in your life should be a day of celebration. When Levi was saved, he invited Jesus to his house and they had a huge party. Same with Zacchaeus in his house. Jesus came over and a huge celebration ensued and the whole household was saved. Verse 15 says, they gathered around the table as was their custom, and they reclined and they feasted together. They had a meal. Jesus went to the house and he ate with Matthew and his friends. He went to an unclean house and ate with unclean people. And for the religious leaders of the day, it was bad enough that Jesus had called a tax collector to follow him and be in his small group. But now Jesus compromises even more of their laws by going to their home and eating with them. Jesus came to seek and save sinners, and he makes every effort to pursue them everywhere he goes. Most likely, these sinners were people labeled by the religious leaders of the day, people who were not as good as a Pharisee, not as religious as a Pharisee, not like them. They didn't live the way they lived. They weren't like the people they associated with. So the Pharisees referred to those people as sinners, people living outside of the standards of their traditions. Here Mark presents Jesus, the Son of Man, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the long-awaited Messiah, eating and drinking with sinners. In the Old Testament, God dispensed grace to the sinner. He chose Noah, a man succumbed to debauchery and drunkenness after the flood, He chose Abraham, a man who often gave in to fear and was half obedient to God. He chose Isaac, a passive man who resisted God's plans. He chose Jacob, a deceiver who spent half of his life manipulating everyone to his advantage. He chose David, a man who committed adultery and murder when he was seated on the throne of Israel. He chose Rahab, a prostitute in Jericho, to become an ancestor of Jesus and a hero in Israel. He chose to bless a woman in pagan Zarephath and a leprous commander of the evil Syrian army. He chose a barbaric city of Nineveh, and they repented when he finally got a disobedient, prejudiced disciple named Jonah to do some preaching for him. He even gave grace to Ahab, one of the most wicked kings in all of Israel's history. All of these he called from the ranks of sinners to walk in his ways. Over and over, God is standing by and ready to forgive the sinner. Psalms 103:8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy." In Lamentations 3:22-23, it says, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." After Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came down and the church exploded, sharing the gospel to all nations and all people groups. Jesus said that if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. For whoever shall confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead will be saved. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All the whosoevers are sinners that Jesus came to save. And those of us who are followers are included with the sinners saved by grace through his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary, by that same Jesus who ate with the sinners and tax collectors that day at Matthew's house. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither will the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greediness, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." You see, every one of us were sinners. And every one of us, Jesus came to save, because he came for the sinners. The scribes and the Pharisees were following Jesus from place to place, trying to find anything that he said or did that would prove that he was not the Messiah. Pharisee, the word, means a separate one. And to separate was their mission. They were pious Jews who rigorously followed the law of Moses while separating themselves from Greek and Roman influence. By the time of Christ, they had formed a legalistic group who lived by the letter of the law. And separated themselves from anyone who did not live or walk or talk like they did. In fact, they had cornered the market on religion, and they began to charge people to get closer to God, to get a word from God, or even to have a prayer answered. So this group of Pharisees, when they saw Jesus eating with sinners and tax collectors, were appalled. They asked the disciples, "Why does he eat with the tax collectors and the sinners?" When Jesus heard their question, he responded by saying, "Those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick." You see, doctors treat those who are unhealthy and sick. It's a lack of health that drives us to the doctor, amen? That is why It is not until we realize that we're spiritually ill that we would even call upon the great physician to heal us by forgiving us of our sins. When we get to the end of ourselves and we see our good works and our good life have nothing to do with the remedy required for our sin sickness, then we call upon Jesus, and he is able to give us the remedy, the cure, and forgive us of all of our sins. Jesus came as a great physician, and he will never distance himself from the sinner. Jesus was never afflicted or contagious of the illness of his patients. Though he immersed himself with the sinners, he never condoned or participated in their sins. Though he was tempted like us, he never sinned like us. Jesus dined with sinners, but he didn't sin with sinners. He lived in the world, but he did not live like the world. You and I, we struggle with this every day. We try hard to be holy like Jesus, and we become rigid and we isolate ourselves from the world. When we try to reach out to sinners and share the gospel, our faith can become eroded and we can become influenced by the world and worldly living. We vacillate between the two, separation like the Pharisees and worldly living like sinners. The Bible says bad company ruins good morals in 1 Corinthians 15:33. But bad company didn't ruin Jesus. You and I must be careful to live in the forgiveness of grace and mercy and love the sinner like Jesus did. Jesus didn't come for righteous people, but he came for sinners. He was trying to say the Pharisees were already righteous and they was in no need of his help. Well, not really. The Pharisees were sinners just like you and I, who had a desperate need for Jesus. They just did not see their own need. Jesus wasn't saying he couldn't help them. As long as they believed they was not sick, they did not need a doctor. And as long as someone thinks they have no sin, they don't need a Savior. Jesus says we're all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. The problem is that most people don't believe they're broken. They do not want to admit they're a sinner. They have no need of a doctor as long as they're not sick. But those who've received Jesus in our heart have confessed that we're broken. We've cried out for mercy and grace, and the great physician has healed us up. We all need Jesus. We all need his grace, forgiveness, and cleansing. We need the great physician to come and heal us, and to keep on healing us every day. No matter who we are or what our background is, what our temptations are, we all need Jesus. In conclusion, Jesus called Matthew, and Matthew gave up everything to follow him. Friend, know this, there is nothing that you could ever give up for Jesus that's better than Jesus. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Why? Because this is our reasonable spiritual worship. Jesus came to seek and save sinners. Even if people called him out for including those people, they are the ones that need a doctor. Keep on keeping on reaching the lost. Keep on keeping the main thing, and seek and save the lost, which is what Jesus commissioned us to do. Maintain the church as a hospital for sinners. Never quit praying and pursuing the Levites in your life. Don't give up or give in. When the ministry gets tough, get prayed up, get girded up, and stay in the battle. Jesus is with us. He has our back. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So let's just keep on fighting. As sin abounds, grace abounds even more. When you all get holier than thou and your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, stop, drop, and pray for repentance. And when we stop needing the great physician to heal us, we'll be in the gates of that great city. Ask God to help you become more like how Jesus is in this story. Ask God to give you a desire to bring sinners to the great physician. Ask God to keep you humble and keep you from becoming pious and legalistic. Ask God to keep you in the world, but not of the world, to keep us fully engaged in the ministry, but not regress in our faith. Ask God to put a hedge about us and keep us from the evil and the evil one. Ask God to make us more productive in doing His will in our community, in our church, and in our lives. Would you stand and pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you love sinners, because that means you love us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins when we called your name, when we trusted you, when we admitted we had sin, and we confessed you as Lord of our life, and we believe that your Holy Spirit lives in us. Lord, I pray this morning that as your word has went forth, that maybe someone this morning has heard the truth, and they too this morning would like to confess that they're a sinner, and they would like to ask you to come and live inside of them and be their Lord and Savior. They can do this by praying this simple prayer. You say, Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son, and I believe you died for me. I am a sinner, and I have sin in my heart, and I need you to forgive me of my sin and make me healthy. I want you to come and live inside of me. I want to follow you the rest of my life. I believe that you died for me and that God raised you from the dead, and you're alive and you're seated at the right hand of God the Father. I want you to be Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that simple prayer this morning, the Holy Spirit has come and is living in you, and you are a new person. And just like Levi, who received Jesus Christ, became Matthew, a new person, you too have received new life and are a new person in Christ. Maybe as a believer, we become pious, legalistic, and we stand separated from those in need of finding Jesus. Let us remember where we were before Jesus saved us, because we was at the same place. I pray that God would instill in our heart humility and humbleness and a willingness to go to those who are in need and share the gospel with them, that they may too be healed by the great physician. Maybe we've been doing that for some time. We've been going where the sinners go. We've been rubbing shoulders with the sinners, and our faith has eroded some. My prayer would be that you would come back to God and get right with Him and ask Him to cleanse you of all unrighteousness and repent, and then continue to do the work that He's called you to do. God may have spoke to you with His word this morning, and whatever He is calling you to do, I pray that you would come at invitation time and make that public. If you're not in this place, I pray that you would come and share with us what God has told you and is doing in your life, that we may see where God's at work and join Him in that effort. And all these things I pray in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. We're singing page 288.
we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask that you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church, and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to contact our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.